Got Your Back Podstream is brought to you by JL Financial Solutions. If you're an Albertan looking to plan your financial future, you want someone you can trust. Together with Sun Life's estate and financial planning services, JL Financial Solutions will develop a plan you can be confident in to grow and protect your wealth. Give Jonathan Lambert and his team a call at 780-733-0910.
Join us around the campfire, my old friends, Oilers fans. Sad night for the Oilers fans. 5-3 loss to the Dallas Stars. They're up 2-0 after the first period. They lose 5-3. Down 2-1 in the series. I'm Jason Stradwick. We'll be joined by Ryan Rashog and Rob Brown and Zoobs momentarily. I am currently located in the Long Shot studio. For Long Shots, all Oilers game nights during the playoffs are all-you-can-eat wings, $25 a person. Visit Long Shots in Sherwood Park. Oilers fans, how are you doing tonight? That was a tough one. I was at the game. After the first period, my kids were pretty fired up. Up 2-0, feeling good about themselves. And then there was about a 60-minute shift in the Oilers zone after that. No, just kidding. But there was about a four-minute shift early in the second. And Dallas just kept pushing, just kept pressing. It was a pretty rough one. Our pod is brought to you by our good friends at Sherwood Buick GMC. Last month, Sherwood Buick GMC team was awarded with the General Motors President's Club Award, which is given to the top 50 General Motors dealerships in Canada. Now, if you or someone you know is in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, make sure to go check them out. Visit the crew in Sherwood Park at 10 Auto Mall Road or online at www.gmcpod.com. We're here for you. Myself, Zoobs, Ryan Rashog making his way home from a rocking arena. Shogger, after this first period, I think many people thought, okay, they're going to be up 2-1. We're going to be going for 3-1 on Thursday, or Wednesday, I should say. And it changed quickly. Dallas came out, and I actually had left my seat to go in intermission to get my kids something to eat. I couldn't get back in my seat because it was so long that they kept going and skating Dallas in the Oilers zone. And then finally, quite a change in the game. But I don't know, your general thoughts before we really get into
some breaking. Let me ask you this. Yeah, we'll break it down in a minute. But I love that point you just made about how Oiler fan is sitting there feeling like, oh, yeah, it's going to be up 2-1. What a great chance it'll be next game to make it 3-1, and they have that optimistic feeling in the pit of their tummy, and they're feeling good. My question, I guess, to you, Strud, is, do the players go there in their head? Like, they're only human. They're living it. Or are they professional enough that that wouldn't even be crossing their mind? They're like, well, we're in a game here. Or do you think that they can't help but have that kind of sitting there in their consciousness on the bench with a 2-goal lead running the show?
Yeah, so I actually had that thought. I was sitting there watching the game, and we were, you know, once I got into my seat about 5 minutes into the second, because like I said, I couldn't get in it. I was thinking, what are the guys feeling right at this moment? And I went back to a saying that I heard my coaches say often. I use it a lot. It's just one shift at a time. Just worry about your next shift. That's all I have to worry. Don't think bigger picture, because you just want to narrow it. You want to narrow your view into the smallest little bit you can. I think that this team has been through enough playoffs. I don't think they're looking ahead to Thursday. I'd be blown away if that was the case.
Not,
they've been through it.
Not consciously, but just that feeling, right? Like, oh, that thought creeps in like it does for fans. And then I'm sure fans are like, I'm not going to think that way. Nope. Yeah. I just wonder if maybe it does for the players a little. I mean, they're human beings too, but you cannot learn this lesson multiple times in a playoff year and the hard way and think that you're going to get anywhere. They have learned this lesson already. This was one they were supposed to already have written down in the lesson plan. Yeah. It happened earlier in the playoffs, and it happened again, Strud.
Well, I think there might be some disagreement here. So let's get down to breaking it down. The breakdown brought to you by Adrenaline Diesel, Edmonton's heavy-duty diesel truck repair shop. They perform services from oil change to engine swaps, overhauls, and modified engine work. The crew at Adrenaline Diesel are there to get your truck or trailer in great shape, like it's right out of the factory. Drop in or check them out at AdrenalineDiesel.ca. All right, Oilers fans, let me just set it up for you. 2-0 after the first period. Dallas comes out and just absolutely takes over. Now, my belief is this. I think Dallas got to a level the Oilers didn't know they had. And you know why that happened? Because they didn't get one player back tonight. They got two. They got Roope Hintz and a guy named Jason Robertson, who hadn't scored since the calendar turned. And those two guys were machines tonight. Absolute machines. And the Oilers weren't prepared for that. Schager, in the second period, what say you about that statement?
Yeah, I think it's a great point, right? Roope Hintz is a game changer. He's a first-line center. You take any first-line center off any team, and their attack is going to be harmed in multiple ways. Jason Robertson is certainly going to feel the pinch of that. So, yeah, I don't disagree. He made a huge impact. Robertson found his touch. You know, he was a goal scorer who had lost his touch, but it's like riding a bike, I would imagine. Once you feel that, feel it go in, I mean, how about that one shot? Like, are you kidding me? So I just think you can't, you can't underestimate what Hintz's return did for Robertson. I think it's a big important point, but you know, the Oilers had a formula in the first period. And even though the other team pushes Struds, the Oilers are a good enough team to be able to have a say. They're a good enough team to be able to push back. So I know it's difficult, it's not easy, but why in that 10, 12, 14-minute span is nobody taking the bull by the horns and getting, you know, why can't they put a couple of good shifts together and some guys take the bull by the horns? That's what's required, and they weren't getting it.
Yeah, there's no doubt they weren't getting it. You know, and it was... Yeah. When you feel that the game is slipping away from you, it is really hard to stop that. And I've been in that situation. I'm not in the Western Conference Final, but I felt that feeling where it's just slipping away from you. And what happens is it feels like you're chasing the game, and the other team gets more energy, and they start winning more and more puck battles. And now it feels like you're second to every battle, second to every face-off, second to every puck race, second to every physical confrontation. And you just can't get through it. So that's where, and I made this point before, where your game management comes in so important. Just worry about the little details of your game. And I know that's a cliche, but I'll explain what it is. So when you got a puck on the wall, or D-man, you got to snap it up hard to that winger. That winger has to get it out. You have to do everything just by the book and not cheat anywhere on the ice to ensure that while this stretch of you know, energized play by your opponent is on, you're not giving them any easy plays, right? So you just keep moving the puck forward, make the plays, get it deep, and try to turn the tide over. Well, the Oilers didn't do that. As a group, they didn't do that. You know, you kind of go through some of the goals. The first goal, players flying the zone, right? So that's not what I just described. That's not making sure you do all the little details. And people, oh, I hate the cliches. The cliche stands because it's been true since the first puck was dropped 1,000 years ago on that frozen river in Quebec. That's how it works. That's what you have to do. And you know, when other teams pressing, when you don't do it, all of a sudden they go bang, bang, bang. And now you're chasing the game and in the second period, Chuck. So that's what I believe to be true. Yeah, when you're struggling.
It was nuts the way it flipped. And so let's dig in on mistakes a little bit here. Like Nugent Hopkins with a clear at the blue line, I believe, if I recall, kind of a soft play there. I think that was a turnover. And then would that be McDavid's guy in front of the net there on Dallas's first goal? He was kind of in the high slot there a little bit. Did he sort of drift the wrong way and lose his guy for a split second?
Yeah, because that was Jason Robertson's first goal, right? Where he walks in. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, Connor's close to him. Now, it does, you know, whether it's his guys or not, he's the guy that's close to him. So you kind of got to embrace that. Embrace
that's
that.
That's the
role,
way it looks.
Because right? it's a chaos. One, right? At that second, it's a chaotic moment.
Right?
Yeah, when it's a chaotic moment, you just got to find the guy close to you and try to sort it out.
for sure. And sorry, again, we're dealing with a bit of a delay, so we'll try not to stomp on each other too much. I didn't like the way – I mean, I thought it was a really good play Ben made to kind of steal positioning from Ekholm on the entry. Like, Ekholm kind of lost inside position on that stretch pass entry there, hey? And then he fell, Nugent Hopkins falls. But I thought Ekholm could have done a better job on the blue line play there. And then, again, another missed assignment in the slot on the second one. Kind of a theme, mistake at the blue line, and then lost coverage in the slot on both the first two goals.
Yeah, and then I think on that second goal as well, I can't remember who had an opportunity to get the puck out, unable to get the puck out. Right. So we can talk about the exchange from the D to the forward getting it out. But like, those are really important little game. You couldn't see that in the first because Oilers are playing so well. From the second period on, that was a continuous theme. The Oilers play on the wall in their own zone and their play at the blue line.
Yeah. And then the third goal, Desharnais with a chance up the wall, I believe, to clear. And then there was a bit of a crash at the net. But it seemed to me that Desharnais was picking up a guy that was already picked up, and his man was the guy at the side of the net on the post there that ended up putting it in. So there was definitely a mistake on the wall by him, but was it his mistake net front as well there, Streddy? He took the two guys crashing the crease instead of tying up a stick at the side.
Yeah. No, and I agree. I think, though, like the original sin would be he tries to go back up the wall when he could have easily just gone D to D. In the neutral zone, right? And you get it because you're generally speaking, you got to get away from areas of pressure to where there's less pressure. And so that was to go over. And I get it, they're under pressure. Like the Oilers D felt a lot of heat today. They in the second and third, there's a lot of pressure by that group, and they were on them early and often. In that's not in the first period, but in the second period for sure.
And then, I mean, people are going to want to talk about Stu Skinner, so we should probably get to that. But bottom line, that breakdown in the second period, I thought it was a combination. I thought they got away from some of the rugged, hard work that they had earned in the first period. I thought they did a great job of being relentless on puck and finishing checks and just really dictating a lot. It feels like they got caught standing around a little bit. They got away from the details in their game when Dallas picked it up. So just bottom line, the quality in their game fell through the floor. That was, I asked McDavid about that. It was partly, he felt it was partly what Dallas did, but a big part what they did as well. Actually, that might lead us into a decent clip. Struds, what did you guys pull on what happened in the second period? We got something on that?
Yeah, do we have, we do. It's Skinner. Do we have Skinner on that, Zoops?
Yeah, we got Skinner. Yeah, Skinner's got a good clip on his frustration in that segment of the game.
Okay, so let's get to the Weiss Johnson Soundbox brought to you by Weiss Johnson. With seasons changing, now's a good time to get your air conditioner scheduled in for service before the heat hits or your ducts cleaned before you fire up your air conditioner and blow the dust throughout your home. Visit WeissJohnson.com for all your home comfort needs. Weiss Johnson,
whoa. Jingle.
All right, let's get to it. Stuart Skinner on the second period.
Each goalie plays it. It was a little bit frustrating just because you knew that they were going to push back. These guys obviously want to make it to the finals. Obviously we do as well. But I think that we just let off the gas a little bit. And then when they started rolling, they just kept rolling. And then once they got momentum, we kind of just... I think as a whole unit, we were just watching them kind of do their thing. And once we started playing again, we got right back into it. But I think we allowed them to kind of do what they wanted for majority of the second period.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty accurate.
On the heels of that, people are going to want to talk about the fourth goal. So I asked Stu about that goal right after the game. Zuby, I think you have that clip too. So Struds, we can dive into our thoughts on it after, but maybe let's go back to the old Weiss Johnson soundbox and hear Skinner on that fourth goal.
Each goalie plays it fairly differently. For myself, being in an overlap there, especially as he's a lefty, so maybe next time I'll just play it a little bit more patiently.
Yeah, he didn't love it. Like, he admitted he didn't love it. He thought, I thought his first clip was a little bit better there. He had said he overcommitted right away. And ideally, he would have let the player make the first move, Struds. But bottom line, I mean, that's not one you can let in at that point of the game. Do we agree on that?
And he'd made some huge saves leading up to that. You know, he'd had Robertson on a breakaway. I think it was Dandanoff on a breakaway or a semi breakaway. And so, you know, there was some talk about what Nurse could have done there because he was a man in front. And generally speaking, when it's a 2-on-1 and it's a left-handed shot on that side of the net, where his he doesn't have a great angle at the net, you allow that goalie to have that shot because you feel pretty comfortable he's going to make that save. If it's a righty, maybe you push him over a little more. So Nurse, I believe, played that correctly because he let the guy, you know, when he scores, that Robertson is either at or below the goal line. So, you know, you feel comfortable yeah. your goalie's going to make that save. For him to rush down there and vacate the front of the net, it's going to go in front and bang. That's a goal, or I would say a higher percentage chance of scoring.
Now you could argue that he had some help in the slot there. That Draisaitl was in position to have that player stick, and that Nurse could have just gone right at the puck carrier. You don't think Draisaitl was there?
Let me just revisit it one more time here. I guess there is a case to be made, but you know, I'll repeat. I don't trust a forward, right? You never trust a forward in that situation. But again, it's a lefty on that side of the net where he doesn't have a great angle to score from. Like, you know, I would have a hard time vacating the front of the net to go make that play. I just don't see the value in it in that moment. And, you know, it was funny. You know, I watched the Dallas clips post game, and you know, they were talking about that was a robo type goal, and I get it. Like, and he's looking for ways to score. He'd kind of talked to use that terminology. He's looking for ways to score, but I don't know if I really. I mean, it's a goal scorer's goal, I guess. But you know, I think that's still a save you'd like to have for your team if you're Stu Skinner.
Yeah, I mean, and Skinner was pretty. He was pretty honest about his overall night. Zuby, do we have the clip where Skinner talked about his night in general?
Yeah, I got that. Here we go.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, for myself, I think that obviously the fourth goal, it looks bad, but I think overall I played a pretty solid game. There's some lessons for me to learn, and I think overall I just got a – I mean, if you look at it just as anybody, you just can't be letting in four goals, especially against the Dallas Stars, how good they are defensively. And, you know, they can just stymie you defensively. So the main thing is I just can't be letting in that many goals.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and that's fair.
I mean, he knows it.
Yeah, he does. I mean, I guess you look at the first three. Is there any there that you'd like to have back?
No, not really. Not really, but I think it's good for him to be able to look at the big picture and go, I mean, it's too many. Because, you know, that means in the playoffs, sometimes the bar is you got to stop some that maybe you shouldn't stop. And which he did. Like, I think Skinner did his job in terms of when the game was in the balance, he made some big saves that maybe he shouldn't have. Like, he made some key saves. And I think that's what you can ask of him. But he also let the one in that you don't want to let in. So he did his job, but that's goaltending. Then he didn't do his job for a quick second. Most of the night he did his job, and then he didn't for a quick second. And that's just the life of goaltending. That was a big swing in the game. Ottinger did his job.
Yeah, Ottinger had a good night. A pretty good night, I guess I should say. I mean, Steelers had some pretty good chances. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like, you know, that goalie battle is obviously, you know, just so important in this series. You know, I made the case that, you know, he's got a two, maybe three goals, but that fourth goal gets harder, and it proved correct tonight, right? Like, that's kind of where you're at. Yeah. It's that two, three goals. You kind of got to, you know, two is great. Three is okay. They should be able to, Stolers should be able to score four, but you get to four. Now you're asking them to score five on Jake Ottinger. And that's a pretty deep wish to be granted.
Yeah, 100%. Strutty, I'm just getting home here. Why don't you guys do the relentless player of the night and then go to break, and I'll head inside and hop onto the computer, and then I think Brownie will probably be ready soon, too.
All right, we'll do her. All right, let's get to the relentless player of the evening. And that is brought to you by our good buddies over at UCan U Services. I don't have it here. UCan U Services, they're very helpful with, here it is, brought to you by UCan U Services. If you're looking to hire entry-level staff for your company, UCan U Services trains youth in pre-employment skills to help them get them ready, willing and able to join your team. Check out www.ucan.ca for more information. And Oilers fans, you're not going to like this, but I'm going with Jason Robertson. Hadn't scored in 10 games, has a hat trick tonight. I thought he was great with the puck on his stick. That first goal was fantastic. Second one is a kind of a crafty backhand, if you didn't see it. Third one, kind of coming off side of the net, finds a little hole in Stu Skinner, and that was the backbreaker. So Stu Skinner, sorry, so Jason Robertson is the relentless player of the evening, which is absolutely, I mean, it's great if you're them, but I made the point earlier. I believe when Roope Hintz came back tonight, they got two players back because Roope was good tonight. He's everything you expect. And for those of you who don't watch a lot of Dallas Stars hockey, you now have a better sense of what Roope is all about. And Jason Robertson was elevated for sure. His play was way elevated in there. All right, Zoobs, let's take a quick pause when we come back. Time for takeaways.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard to reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
On paper, my life looks exciting.
In reality, not so much.
Every day, it's same old, same old.
Clock in, clock out.
Then I discovered Play Alberta. I can play casino games anytime.
Bet on any game.
And buy lottery tickets anywhere in Alberta. I think my spleen is ruptured.
All right, let's get to the scoreboard. DeBoer's scoreboard, or it's not scoreboard. Let me start again.
I put that in your head.
You did. Let's get to the DeBoer's YouTube poll. Brought to you by our good buddies over at the Golf Shop and Fitting Center at DeBoer's. Aiming to help you play better golf with golf fitting, instruction, after-sales support, and golf merchandise and clothing. Celebrating 25 years, check out their Pro Shop style atmosphere located at 5311 99th Street in Edmonton, our good buddies at DeBoer's. Zoobs, what do you got for a poll today?
All right, so the poll tonight, obviously a fair bit of talk about Stu Skinner already. We're going to have Brownie here to join momentarily. So this is what I put forward on that topic. I said, how did you feel, Oiler fan, about Stuart Skinner's game tonight? The choices are great, his D-men let him down, good, other than the fourth goal, decent, lots of highs and lows, or simply not good enough. Those were our four choices tonight. Oh, we had Shogger, but he's gone. Maybe you guys want to chime in on that really quick.
Brownie, get going, buddy. What do you got in your mind with that?
Skinner, it's a weird one. I'd love to hear from a real goalie coach about the game-winning goal. It was, to me, as a goal scorer, that was a fantastic play by Robertson. He hit a very small area to put the puck in the net. Should it have been available to him from behind the net? I don't know. But up into that, the save that Skinner made on Marchment gave the Oilers a chance. That would have made it 4-2. And then right after the Oilers tied it up 3-3, the Oilers gave up a grade-A scoring chance, I believe, to Duchesne right in the slot. So Skinner had some big saves, but at the end of the night, the guy in the opposite end, Jake Ottinger, was a little bit better. And usually the team with the better goaltending comes out with the victory in the end.
Yeah, I can't really. I'd agree with you there, buddy. I can't really get too much more in depth than that. I look at more how the D-man played it. You know, I think if Nurse leaves the front of the net to go make that stop, it comes to the front of the net. So, I don't know. I think he's got to stop. You know, no more than three. If he can keep it inside of three, I think the Oilers got a chance. We got Ryan Rashog back here. But before we get to that, Brownie, I just want to ask you a question. I felt like tonight the Oilers were shooting a lot of pucks at from weird angles at the feet of Jake Oettinger. Did you see that? And if you did, why would that? What are they trying to get there? What is their thought process?
Well, honestly, I didn't notice that as much. But when you do that, you're looking for chaos in the blue paint. So the one thing that the Dallas Stars are really good at is getting into shooting lanes, getting into passing lanes, getting into shooting lanes. And if you can get a puck past the defender, you're going to have a wide open player in front. And we've seen that in this series where McDavid and Hyman have been behind the defenders by themselves. But it's just, you have to get the puck there. Dallas doesn't allow the puck to get there. They front you as a defenseman. They front you and they stay in front. They block the puck. So if you're shooting for feet, you're just trying to get the puck in the blue paint and win a battle. And the Oilers do have some big forwards. This is a different team than playing against Vancouver. Vancouver, you weren't going to win a lot of puck battles in front of the net against Vancouver because they had monsters on defense. The Dallas Stars don't. So you want, if you're putting in the goalie's feet, to me it says, I want a puck battle in the blue paint because I feel our forwards are bigger and or stronger than the Dallas Stars defensemen, and we should win some of those battles.
Take it away, Shocker.
Oh, sorry about that. Struds, I agree with you. I did see them firing pucks kind of from strange angles. I think maybe what that had a little bit to do with was how much trouble they had getting pucks on net last game. How many were blocked? How many of the Stars got in the way of? And I think, you know, I was asking the question this morning about how when a team is blocking that many shots and doing that good a job getting in the way, what do you do? And I'm not sure if maybe that was overthinking it a little bit, Struds, because so many of their shots had been blocked and the Stars were so good. If they were maybe holding on to it an extra second and they end up out a little bit wider. I don't know, Brownie, if as a goal scorer that gets into your head, if a team's doing such a good job always being in the lane, if maybe you're just hesitating a little bit, waiting for that opening, if maybe it got in their head a little bit and there were some weird shots that they took at net.
Yeah, you're right. It does get in your head. If all of a sudden you have 8 shot attempts and only one gets through, you have to change your shooting angle. You pull the puck closer to you, push the puck further away, you shoot off your back, but you just try different, you just try to change the angle of what you're shooting. And sometimes, as you just said, sometimes you just wait a little bit longer. Okay, I don't have the shooting lane now, but if I take another step, but as you said, the way the guys are so fast nowadays, if you wait a little bit longer to get around them, now all of a sudden you're at a bad angle. And what you've done there is you've done the job of the defenseman. Because the defenseman, as Struds will tell you, the defenseman's job is to keep the guy that's shooting, push him wider, push him at a lower angle, don't give him the grade A scoring chance. So if you are changing your shooting lane by going into a worse angle, then the defenseman has won, and it's 1-0 him.
Dave Rollins says, Bush has to use a slap shot, especially early, to break a few ankles, and they won't be so anxious later in the game to block shots. Struds, what do you see out of Bouchard there? He's got the weapon, we know it, but he's maybe had a little bit of a tough time finding that A opportunity with it.
Yeah, because they know it too. They being the Dallas Stars. Like, Stankoven took one off the leg, and I think he probably was scared to look down to see if his leg was still there. And that's a sick feeling. I blocked a lot of shots, and it's such a sick feeling because you don't know where that puck's going. He being Bouchard, thinks he knows where it's going, but you have no idea. And you're hoping it hits you, but you also hope it just hits somewhere on your leg that doesn't hurt. So I think right now the Stars are making a mental note of staying close to him, and they're trying to get in his shooting lane to make him change his shot. Because how many times have we seen him kind of give a fake one, then step around and try to fake it again? And, you know, they're really making him work for his shots to get him off. So I give Dallas a lot of credit. Now, Bouchard's a smart guy. He'll figure it out. You know, maybe instead of the slap shot, it's wrist shots to get it off their stick quicker so the other guys can't get in their line of fire, Brownie.
Well, you know what? You're right about defending a guy with a big shot. If you're a winger, and I was, if we played against a McInnes or an Ally Afraidy, I stood a lot closer to him. because I'm just getting in your lane. They're not passing it to you. I'm staying out here because I'm not taking one of those 100-mile-an-hour slap shots from 20 feet away. Now, the thing that happens, if you get out too high, that opens the passing lanes cross-box. And that's where the Oilers got to take advantage of it. They're going to get up high on Bouchard. Well, now the cross-ice passes are going to be wide open because you've taken that defender up so high. The one thing that Dallas has done really good is this throwing the guy out in the neutral zone. Because the Oilers, where they're successful is when they get both their defensemen involved in the five-on-five down low. We saw Ekholm go around the net and hit McDavid back door. When all of a sudden you start flying a guy out of the zone, now your defenseman's pulled out. Now you've kind of taken away one of the Oilers' strengths, and that's their ability of defensemen jumping into the play in the offensive zone.
You're muted there, Shaggy.
Sorry, muted. I was just mentioning we're in the middle of takeaways here, brought to you by our good friends over at Martin Motorsports. Make this summer a Sea-Doo summer with a new Sea-Doo Switch. Check out this bad boy. The brand new way to live the Sea-Doo lifestyle. It's the only pontoon that easily adapts to any family-sized adventure. Modular design lets you rearrange the seats depending on the number of passengers or activity you're doing. Plus, the easy handlebar steering makes it stress-free to steer, dock, and to launch. That thing looks awesome. Check one out at Martin Motorsports on the west or south side of Edmonton today. Struds, have we gotten Brownie's take on what flipped in the second period there? Have you guys gotten there yet?
No, we haven't touched on it yet. No.
Brownie, can you maybe try and describe the best you can what changed so dramatically in that game from period one to period two?
Well, pride. I think the Dallas Stars were embarrassed in the first 20. You knew they were going to come out better in the second. And Struds knows as well as I do that when one team gets momentum, it's hard to get it back. And it was like a snowball going down a hill. It just got bigger and bigger. And the Dallas Stars, the thing that they're capable of doing is throwing four straight lines out that are all equal. So when they get momentum in the offensive zone, and then the next shift is already in the offensive zone, they keep the pressure up. There's no breather. Like when the Oilers sometimes, there's been times where the Oilers have had a couple good shifts in a row, with Leon's line, then Connor's line, well, then all of a sudden McLeod's line comes out. And now you got a breather. And this is where we start going back the other way. To me, in the second period, the Oilers did what Dallas did in the first period. The Oilers were in their own zone. They were exhausted. They flipped the puck out. They changed. And here comes Dallas again with the puck in possession. Now they get in there. The Oilers get tired. They flip it out. They change. They never got a chance to forecheck because anytime they got their puck out of their own zone, all they were doing was changing. So the Dallas Stars, they're good. This is the team that won the Western Conference. They are good. Both teams had their pushes today. The Dallas Stars took a little bit better advantage of theirs by scoring three goals in 3.5 minutes, where it took the Oilers 20 to get there too. But there's going to be swings in this series. It's whatever team withstands it better is the team that's going to come out at the end. The Oilers didn't withstand the second period very well.
Struds, where are you at on Drysdale's night tonight?
I feel that Leon tonight wasn't moving his feet. A number of times you saw Leon from a standstill trying to deke around somebody. And I think that's when it's different when you're facing the guy straight up and you're trying to beat him with speed rather than when he's holding the puck in the corner and shielding his body, his feet aren't moving. And I think, you know, tonight, especially at the blue lines, the offensive blue line, he tried to do that a number of times and it was unsuccessful. And I thought he was getting a little bit frustrating. And listen, they're going to key on him. There's two guys you need to key on for them to know orders. And he's number two, if not at times tied with number one. So tonight I really thought he wasn't moving his feet as well. I thought Connor was the opposite. I thought Connor was buzzing from the get-go, right from the start of it. Whereas Leon, when he's trying to beat guys standing still, face them straight up, that's a really tough game for him. Or for anyone. There's no one. I loved it when guys are standing still and I'm standing still and they're trying to beat me from a standstill. It's you're not going to beat me, right? It's when you have speed, that size, that reach, Brownie, I think makes him so special. So I think for Leon, he'll look back on some of the shifts and might tweak it a bit.
Yeah, I agree, Struds. I think it was a quiet night for Leon. I don't think he was awful. I just it was quiet. Didn't create as much as we normally see from him. Give credit to the Dallas Stars. Dallas is doing a very good job of him. The defenseman's attacking. There's back pressure attacking. They're not giving him speed through the neutral zone. And in the second period, they forced him to play in his own end for the whole period. So, yeah, it was a quiet night for Leon tonight.
Yeah, for sure. Just checking some stats here. An adjustment made by Dallas has been Heiskanen and Lindell together. Don't normally play together. Harley and Heiskanen is generally the pair. Lindell and Tanev, but they've put those two together. They played 842. Heiskanen was 842 head-to-head against Connor McDavid. Lindell 822. Last game they made that switch. Lindell had the most even strength minutes against McDavid as well. So a bit of a tweak there, Struds, and a pretty good D pair. Like, Heiskanen is unreal with his mobility, but Esa Lindell, like, just a probably not well known enough for being the type of shutdown defenseman that he is. But that little tweak that they've made, I think, has worked really well.
Heiskanen, or Lindell is one of my favorite D in the league. And the thing is, you just nailed it. He's not going to jump off at the page. There's very few things he does. You're like, oh my God, did you see that? You're not throwing it on the old Twitter. But he's a nice compliment, I think. And I like this tweak they've made. And I did see that. Heiskanen skates so well. He can kind of, at times, skate with and or skate the puck out of trouble. I know, skate with like Connor, skate with whoever, or skate the puck out of trouble. So I kind of like that little change they made. I don't think it hurts that Rupe Hintz is out there. Like, let's be honest. I think that's a pretty big change for them. But so I feel pretty good with him as my center as well. But I do think that was a nice tweak they changed up. Especially, you know, Tanev game one was, I thought he had his hands were full, and last game was better. But I like that. I like that. And I quite selfishly, I want to see more Heiskanen versus McDavid.
Yeah. Brownie, what do you make of that matchup?
It's a great matchup for Dallas. I mean, you're never going to win a matchup against Connor McDavid, but you can limit the damage. Heiskanen to me is all world. And I agree with Struds when it comes to Lindell. He's just smart. He's never in the bad position. It's one of those guys that when he's on the ice, you feel that nothing bad's going to happen. What I would like to see, and one more thing about Heiskanen, he's a faster version of Bouchard. You know, Bouchard, everyone complains at times that he looks like he's got no pulse, nothing bothers him. Well, yeah. That's what Heiskanen is. Like, even when he scored from his own zone, like, he just kind of lazily gets back, gets the puck, just shoots it down. Like, it doesn't look like there's an intensity, but there is. But he just does everything so effortlessly and at 100 miles an hour. So it's kind of neat to watch. The one thing that I'd like to see the Oilers do more of, the Dallas Stars have four fantastic defensemen. Then they got a guy, Suter, who's a veteran presence that makes the right play most of the time. And he gets his, I don't know, 15, 17, whatever he gets minutes. But then they have a kid called up from the minors, Petrovich. I'd like to see McDavid play against him more. Every time they put him on the ice at Dallas, get McDavid out there. Because he played more or less the last few years in the minors, I believe. And there have been a couple shifts where they've been caught out. He's been caught out against Connor McDavid. And those shifts have not gone well for him. To me, I think you got to exploit that. I mean, when Connor's out against Heiskanen or Tanev, I mean, the Dallas Stars are pretty excited. But if you can get Connor out against the third-pairing defenseman, I think that is a huge mismatch. And I think that's what the Edmonton Oilers got to try to find more time on the ice for Connor against the third-pairing defenseman.
I know he's a kid to you, but he's a 32-year-old Edmonton kid. That's Alex Petrovich. And the one shift that McDavid had him out there against him early, Struds, he took a penalty on McDavid.
Yeah, it was right in front of me. He dropped it. And then I think it was the second goal the Oilers scored was against the fourth line. There was an icing, then there was, I believe, and then there was a goal. So, you know, I was thinking, I made a mental note to say, you know, the match reps of home ice is really helping the Oilers. And then we heard the second intermission at start.
Okay, guys, one other point here. David Rollins chimes in, says, Shauger, you have to comment on Nobby's ridiculous goalie pulling when they don't have the face-off and they don't have possession. This is common hockey sense. The coach gives them no chance. So Dave, obviously frustrated. We know it wasn't a great goaltender pull the last time around. Struds, let's start with you. What did you think? There was two and change on the clock. His top line was fresh. Offensive zone face-off. And he decides, and it almost backfired immediately. Yeah. Would you be waiting until after the draw when you have possession?
Oh, God, it's so easy to revisit this, isn't it, to say that he was wrong? The problem is if you don't pull him And now you're not outmanning them, and they get it out, and now you might not get out of your end for a while, right? Like, that's the challenge. I would have pulled him as well. I think I would have pulled him at that point. You got, you know, it's just over north of 2 minutes left. I would have pulled him at that moment because it's an offensive zone faceoff. I'm not sure what else I'm going to get, Brownie.
I agree. I would have pulled him for a couple of reasons. One, the Oilers' best players just sat for 4 minutes. They are as fresh as they've been all game long. Two, I was a little surprised that the Dallas Stars played Heiskanen for almost the entire power play. I'm like, you're still nursing a lead. I think you'd want him rested. So he was tired. And I don't even think he was out there for the first time they pulled the goalie. Then he got back out there. And three, even if you lose the faceoff, there's no way that the Dallas Star defender could have time when you've got a man advantage at the end of the game. I think that, to me, is the Oilers made a mistake by not getting into the faceoff and allowing him that much time to shoot it down. I'm 100% behind the fact your centermen Leon rarely loses one in the offensive zone. I pull my goalie. You got a fresh group, 2.5 minutes to go in the game, faceoff in the offensive zone. I think that every NHL coach would have pulled their goalie right there.
But your point's well made, Brownie. I didn't think that there was enough jump to the puck on both shots down. Like, they, you know, at times you see, I felt that there was like three guys and the fourth guy wasn't going in. Well, they have three, you send four. Like, I think that's, you outnumber them all the time. I know you want to be open to get the puck, but you got to get that puck back first. So I think it's whatever number they have, you send plus one.
Did we do the poll yet, guys? Did we do the DeBoer's poll yet?
We pulled it up.
You pulled it up, so everybody's aware of the poll. Okay, Brownie, you got Brownie points ready, buddy? I know you're driving, but you got it ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
All right, let's get to Roll the Music, Zoobs. Hamel's Premium Jerky presenting Brownie Points. If you're looking for a snack to bring to the next watch party, look no further than Hamel's Beef Jerky. Locally owned in Alberta, shipping so fast you can satisfy that savory craving. 14 flavors you can pick from, available in bison, turkey, pork jerky, and prime Alberta beef. For the entire month of May, pound and a half of jerky for $55 and free shipping. Hop on to albertajerky.com to order yours. Brownie, bring us some points.
Well, this one is for all the Edmonton Oilers fans who were not happy with the refereeing in the first couple of games. I got 2 brownie points to the referees tonight for giving the Edmonton Oilers 2 power plays in this hockey game. Unfortunately, the Oilers weren't able to score on them.
I heard you on with Stoff tonight, buddy. You were not buying it because Stoff was pushing the refereeing narrative and you weren't buying it.
I'm not. We just watched 2 incredible hockey games. 2 incredible hockey games. Let's not talk about the referees. Let's talk about how good both these teams are. That one there was just I needed new more brownie points because there wasn't a lot of brownie points to give out tonight. This was as happy a night as
I like that, though. How about that diving call on Marchment? That was a terrible call, Oilers fans. That should have been a cross-check, and that should have been the end of it. Sorry,
Brownie. 100%. I mean, ask Marchment how much that hurt. That hurt him. I'm like, he went down because it hurt. He didn't go down because he was faking it. But anyways, I got 19 brownie points for Adam Henry. Jason Strudwick, the president of his fan club. Tonight he comes back in the hockey game, and he makes a difference. He did. The Edmonton Oilers third line hadn't scored a goal the entire playoffs. Adam Henry centers it tonight. He scores, which was a very big goal at the time. I have got 3 brownie points to the Edmonton Oilers third line for the first goal scored by that line in the entire playoffs. I like Henrique there. I hope he stays there. It gives the Edmonton Oilers some depth scoring. The Oilers' fourth line has been fine in the playoffs. They've been searching for a third line. Tonight they got a third line and they scored a big goal. And the last one, I've got 92 brownie points to the visiting team in game threes. 92%, 13 out of 14 game threes has been won by the visiting team. That is a shocking number. But that's what it's at. So there's only been, I think, Colorado won on home ice against the Winnipeg Jets. That's the only Game 3 team won by a home team the entire playoff series.
Hmm.
And that's brownie points.
That is Brownie Points presented by Hamel's Premium Jerky. Once again, pound and a half of beef jerky for $55. Looked like a few pounds of Alberta beef was thrown onto the ice again tonight there after the anthem. That's becoming a bit of a tradition. Nobody wants to.
Well, I know. What do you want me to identify? What kind of steak it was? Looks like a T-bone to me, guys. What did you see?
I was trying to buy myself. Sorry, guys. I'm operating at like 60% here. I was trying to buy myself 10 seconds to figure out what we were doing next. I thought maybe one of you would support your host.
I'm sorry.
With a comment instead of just staring blankly at the screen, Struds.
I stand corrected. It was ribeye. Looked like a 10-ounce ribeye, Shogger. Sorry.
That's awesome. Okay. Brownie, are you home yet? Where are you?
Jeez.
I am just turning down my street right now.
All right. Well, you want to hang in for Struddy's World or you want to get into bed?
Wow, those are two really good choices. Sure, I'll listen to Struddy's World. I love listening to Struddy's. It will help me sleep.
Yeah. Well, we want more of you tonight. We haven't had enough of you yet. So we're going to go to a quick commercial and then Struddy's World when we come back. Thanks for staying, Brownie. The people want you to stay. J. Fip Foyle. Yay for Struddy's World. They love you on Struddy's World, Brownie. We'll be right back.
I'm in.
Okay, heroes, are you trying to tough it out through a sports or life injury right now? Trying to prove your mettle by grinding through, gritting your teeth? Well, Redefined Health is here to say it's time to come on in. At Redefined Health, they'll high-five you for your toughness and then get to work on helping you fix the problem. Helping athletes and heroes find better balance, performance, and injury prevention. Visit RedefinedHealth.com.
The Brindley family has made it their mission to create the best tasting flavored rums on the planet, and they've knocked it out of the park with their Shipwreck rums. Brewed off the small Caribbean island of St. Kitts, their spiced rum is aged 4 years in bourbon barrels and infused with natural vanilla. Their Shipwreck vanilla is blended with natural Madagascar vanilla, giving it incredible smoothness. One sip and you'll agree, it truly is a vacation in a bottle. Available at your local liquor retailer. Please enjoy responsibly.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here, someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Gotta look good.
For Struddy's World. Hey, Brownie, do you want to try and ad-lib the DLR vinyl ad read? They love it when you do that.
I would love to, but it's downstairs in my makeshift office. I don't have it in my car.
Come on, bud.
But I'd love to. I'd love to.
You've a million times.
Do you know how many concussions I've had? I can't remember my name most mornings. Here's my favorite time of the night.
Where do they have locations, Brownie? Where are their locations?
They have locations way up north here in Edmonton and also the home of the Flames down south in Calgary. It is my favorite and all of Edmonton's favorite segment of the show. This is when our good friend Jason Strudwick lets us know what's going on in his little world. And we are fortunate that we have a fantastic sponsor in DLR Vinyl Products, where you can go online at some website that they have, and they will explain everything for you. So, Jason, please take it away for us.
DLR Vinyl.
I don't think that was very sincere, Brownie, but I will take the floor. Okay, so I almost tweeted, or I almost texted the group chat about Henrique after he scored. I mean, I've been advocating for this guy for a long time. But now it comes down, they got to figure out what these lines look like because they have seven players, one sat out in McLeod. Actually, sorry, eight players. Perry was out of it as well as McLeod. And I'm advocating for this, and I want to hear what you guys think. I recognize it's a fast series, but I really think that the series now, especially when I was sitting there watching it live, a lot of the play the Oilers are trying to create is going to have to be the bump and grind below the top of the circles. Hang on to it. You know, Dallas did a pretty good job in their own zone. So I think it's time to reinsert Perry back into this lineup. So these are my lines, guys. Get ready. I'm putting McLeod back in beside Henrique and Perry. And then I'm going to keep the fourth line. Is this where it becomes really slippery when wet? I like Janmark, and I guess I might be taking Brown and Fogel out to create this. And I know that sounds crazy, but there's eight players for six spots, and I want Perry and I want Henrique, and they're veteran savvy working down below the tops of the surface. Like, do they create something that's not on the rush?
You're making this up as you go.
I'll hang. No, I've been thinking about this for a while, but the problem is I don't
know. Who's
really
your fourth line, though? Who's your fourth line? You just took out Fogel and you took Janmark, Ryan, and Carrick is your fourth line.
You took out Brown.
Well, I don't want to take out Brown. Right now I have Brown and Fogel out. I took the two wingers off the third line basically out of it and put the two guys
in. Oh, you took Brown and Fogel out.
So I don't, but guys, I'm not married to that. So let me just put it this way. I'm advocating for Perry and Henrique to have a game together and then you add some speed on the side, and that can be Fogel or McLeod. But my big thing here is Henrique and Perry in the offensive zone, bump and grinding. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, it's funny. We've had a few people, and we talked about it after the game about Corey Perry coming back in. Here's the if you want to go devil's advocate, the Oilers have killed off 21 straight penalties. Derek Ryan's a big part of that. Connor Brown's a big part of that. Warren Fogle's a big part of that. This is a series right now that every game is one goal. The Dallas Stars have not scored a power play goal yet. Now all of a sudden you're taking out a couple main power play guys or penalty killing guys. Does that disrupt the chemistry that Matthias Ekholm talked about the other day? We've got these three pairings up front. We play together all the time. We're all in sync. Does that take you out of sync? Because Corey Perry doesn't penalty kill. So now you've got a guy you're putting in the lineup that doesn't play on either specialty teams because the Oilers really only have one power play. I like Corey Perry. I do. I like the speed of Ryan McLeod. I do. This is a dilemma for the Oilers coaching staff. Where do you take away to be able to get these guys back in? I don't know if Corey Perry comes back in the lineup just because they're penalty killers. Like in Connor Brown just had two fantastic games in a row.
I know.
Like he,
yeah, you can't. I don't think you can take Connor Brown out.
I don't think so either.
I agree.
No. So here's where my head is at. Ryan McLeod's coming back in because you need his space or you need his speed. And you need to see what he learned by being humbled here, right? Hopefully, you get a bounce from McLeod after humbling him in the press box. I think it was a ballsy call. I think it was a good call. But I don't think it needs to be more than a game. He's a good enough player. He belongs in this series. Get him back in, and hopefully you've lit a fire under him. I don't think Derek Ryan needs to play every night, right? He's in his 30s here. I think the pace is catching up with him a little bit. I think he could use a night off just from a rest standpoint. There's nothing wrong with that. Very good in the Vancouver series. I think you're fine giving him a night off. So I would have McLeod in, Derek Ryan out. And while I hear what you're saying on Corey Perry, Struds, I'm not sure. I mean, you could throw him in instead of Carrick. You could. That would be the play. But I'm not sure that it's Perry time just yet. Brownie?
I agree with you, Shauger. I like that. I agree that Derek Ryan, he would be the guy that would come out for me right now. Having said that, I mean, he is also the guy that starts every penalty kill with R&H. Yeah. There's the thing, he has had success. But if you look at the players that played tonight, it was Ryan and Carrick were the two that got the least amount of ice time. So that's the ones that the coach obviously don't have as much of trust, but they're the ones that they're Carrick playing the least. So to me, pardon?
Like they put Carrick out for some specific faceoffs, right? So they're trusted.
So, I mean, he crushed it in the faceoff circle tonight.
He was 86% today. He was 86%. Yeah. So to me, I agree with you, Shauger. McLeod goes in. Ryan comes out of the lineup tonight. And I wouldn't go with Perry. Here's one for you. And this has been tossed around on our other show. Philip Broberg. Is he capable of coming into this series with the speed that he brings?
I don't know if
that's the right. Well, you got to think it. Well, Desharnais or Cece is the ones they were throwing around. I don't see enough of Broberg. I have no idea what he can do right now. I have not seen him play other than, what, two games at the end of the season. And then I say no, but there have been people talking about that too. I don't see it, but
they're pretty pot committed to their six guys here, Struds. Like, they're pot committed. Nobody else has played. Nobody else has been in the line. I think it's an injury before they move anybody out of that top six. I mean, CC played 21 minutes tonight. He played 20 minutes at even strength. He played more than Nurse. He played more, quite a bit more than Kulak. He played more than, you know, Darren. It was 15-21 tonight. So, that's a tough one. I don't see a move on the blue line.
A bit bold. I think that'd be a bit too bold.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree. My only change would be McLeod in for Derek Ryan. That would be my change.
Yeah. Struds, you'd like Perry in, but potentially for what, Carrick maybe, or?
But the problem is I don't want to take anybody out. I can understand the Derek Ryan. I can get and what is hard, guys? I don't really believe anyone in that bottom line deserves to come out. And I think they've played well, those guys. And if I'm not, I might be wrong, but I don't think that line got scored on tonight. I might be wrong. I'd have to double check that.
You know what, though, Strud? I did see that you are allowed to petition the NHL to go with 21 players as long as you have ice. Yeah. So you could try.
Yeah. No, I hear it. And I get it. Like, but guys, I just see that game. It's all around the net and how many times owners are throwing it at their feet and crashing it. Like, that's his game. That's why Perry's here. That's what I think.
All right. So Strutty's world, Strutty advocating for the owners to go 13 forwards and 5 defensemen in game 4. We'll see if they do it. No backup goalie. Brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products, that amazing sponsor that has that website out there somewhere. That's something. Brownie, thanks, buddy. Go to bed.
All right, guys. See you later.
All right, when we come back, we'll take a lap and get to Ask Us Anything as well. We want to hear what you have to say. Zuby's tracking all the comments coming in here on the live stream. Big thanks to everybody joining us live on YouTube and on Twitter tonight. Plenty more ahead. Stay with us on Got Your Back.
Spring is here, and if you're thinking of buying a new home during the housing market hot period, contacting a mortgage broker should be your first step. Maria Gallas with Maximal Mortgages can guide you with a stress-free experience. With access to dozens of different lenders, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you ready to put an offer in on your dream home. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallas at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com.
Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
Time for us to take a lap, brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet. And it's even better now because of this beauty. Check it out, the 2.0. Engineered with a new friction fit handle that lets you effortlessly snap the shaver in and out to touch up the rest of your body as well. It's not for the back. Go to backscape.com. We got a promo code for you. GYB10 gets you 10% off the Advanced and Deluxe 2.0 kits. That's Backscape, B-A-K-scape, backscape.com. Stay smooth, gentlemen. All right, Strutty, where are we going to take our laps tonight, my friend?
Well, we'll casually chat about Jacob Trouba and the forearm he delivered. I believe that was it Evan Rodrigue he gave it to? Jeez, I can't remember who it was. I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyways, it was the Eastern Conference Final, and he clearly gave a forearm shiver an elbow in English to Evan Rodriguez. Now, there was a ton of pushback on that. People were losing their mind. I believe the intent was much more malicious than actually what happened. I believe it kind of got him in the upper, like maybe the collarbone, that bounced up at him in the jaw. He got suspended, or he got $5,000 fine, which is a drop in the bucket. There were those who were calling for a life sentence at Leavenworth. I agree with that. Now, is it a dangerous play? It is. But we can't suspend someone based on what you think his intent was. And he missed. Likely, I think he missed him. So, you know, I used to do those things. What I try to do is try to do the forearm shiver, and you want to hit him in the chest. He missed. He hit him in the collarbone. Yeah, he could have gone in the head and knocked his head off. But you can't suspend based on what you believe could have happened. This is what did happen. That's why you get the $5,000 fine.
Yeah, and I'll full disclosure, I had such a crazy travel day yesterday. I did not even see that game, and I'm just taking a look at this elbow. I mean, that's like the flying chicken wing deal, right? I mean, you can't do that. It's a bad look.
But that's what he does. He does it all the time. Yeah. And like when done properly, it's delivered to the chest, right? And it just shocks the guy. But what happens is the players get low, or maybe you get high and you're going to hit him. And he is eventually going to get someone right in the head, and then he's going to be suspended for a long time. And that's what's going to happen. I'm just calling it out now. But you cannot suspend based on what you believe could have happened. It doesn't happen that way, right?
Yeah, I agree. Because the principal contact, he hit the shoulder first there, hey?
I think.
Yeah, it looked like the elbow got the shoulder. I'm just seeing it from a couple of angles here.
And there's quite a lively debate on the intermission panel. I get it. It doesn't look good. But what it looks like and what actually happened and what could have happened, that's the realities of any suspension. I'll be honest. I don't always understand goalie interference. I don't always understand suspensions. But this one, I thought it was clear cut. Boom. Find and move on.
And Rodriguez went down holding his side of his head, eh? Like he got tagged in the head. Although I guess that angle shows maybe he did get clipped a little bit in the side of the head there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trouba comes with a reputation, man. Like, that guy is a vicious hitter. He's got a history of this kind of thing. He's always getting himself in hot water with this sort of thing. Take him on my team any single day of the week. Love a guy that hits and is aggressive like that, old school. But definitely riding a pretty fine line there for sure. What's next?
Next up, it sounds, according to, I believe Elliot Friedman had it first, Disco Dan Bylsma will be the new coach of the Kraken. Mm. He is their current coach of their AHL affiliate. So, you know, you bring a guy up, he's going to take the spot. Disco Dan was a successful coach with the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yes.
And here he is. So I think it's interesting to bring up some from the minors. Maybe they have some young players that they feel he can kind of work. And we saw that work pretty well with Jay Woodcroft, with some of the players he instituted in their lineup. I'm not saying this is I can't say this is a good or bad hiring. It's not, I would say it's not super exciting is how I would deliver the news to Kraken's fans.
His path back is interesting. Like, he last coached in the league as a head coach, 9 years ago, 16, 17, 8 years ago.
It's been a while.
A couple of years out of the playoffs with Buffalo. Then he fell back to an assistant with Detroit for 3 years. Then he ends up in the American Hockey League for the last three seasons. Did take Coachella all the way to the finals in 22-23. So some success there. Lost in the finals. And then, pretty successful season this year in Coachella again, just in terms of the regular season. But he's familiar. I covered him when they won that championship in 2008-09. I covered that Stanley Cup final. I've covered him a lot, and he generally, I think, is considered a pretty positive guy, player style coach, that kind of thing. Not sure if he would, be the exact same nowadays, but it's been a while since he's been in that head job, and there are some pretty good names still on the board, I think, is notable to me, Struds.
And that's why I say, I feel this is disrespectful to Disco Dan, but I just feel it's not a massively inspiring, or not inspiring, not a super exciting one, right? There are other guys, but, Ron Francis, obviously he knows this player or this guy. He knows him, what they're all about. Now, what can he help bring some players over from different teams or from the team that's in the minors? Like, I, again, I'm not that familiar with their minor league system to say that they have five people going to be on the team. But you know, Shane Wright's going to be there, right? Sooner or later.
Yeah.
He'll be there. You know, who else can come in and support them right away? So maybe that's part of it. So let's see what happens before we really get too excited.
Yeah.
But that's the news. I mean, I think that's relevant because Pacific-based team for the Oilers to deal with.
All right, that was Taking a Lap, brought to you by Backscape. Time to hear what you have to say. We're going to check in on our DeBoer's poll as well. So, Zuby, why don't you hop on in here, my friend? Sorry you're relegated down to the tiny box now that I'm back and hanging in for this segment. Ask Us Anything is brought to you by the Shark of the Park, Rini Buchlan of Maxwell Devonshire Realty. Home is a feeling and one of the biggest investments you'll ever make. Rini takes on a select number of clients to give them a more personalized service. See why she was rated the number one individual agent this past year with her skilled negotiation, five-star client satisfaction, serving Sherwood Park, Edmonton, and surrounding area. Call Rini at 994-0280. Do we have match up there?
Oh, Did I have the wrong Rini sponsorship tonight? Oh, my bad. You know what? I brain farted that one. I had her.
Oh, there she
and
is.
I changed it to match, and that's my fault. Sorry, Rini.
There's
love
the
you.
Shark of the Park in her Oiler jersey there. All right, Zuby, why don't you and Struds hammer away at this? I got to go refill my water because I'm dying on the vine here, and I'll be right back. But hammer away with Struddy.
Sounds good. I love being in that big box, man. So spacious to be up there. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. The first night I did Steve chimed in on the chat and he said, I didn't know we could do that.
Yeah, no, he's not allowed to yet. He's only in season one here on Got Your Back. Yeah. He's not allowed in the big box yet.
You got to earn it. Okay.
I'll be back.
Okay, Strutty. So Penner's Pancake says if they just played 65 to 70% of what they did in the first, they win that game. This team is way too Jekyll and Hyde, and that can't happen in the semifinals. Brock Martin adding sort of on the same, he poses the question, to what do you attribute these seemingly regular long lapses in play to? Obviously, if you had the answer, you'd have a magic wand and just change it. But what are you seeing? What do you think is happening to this team to see that so frequently?
Well, yeah, if I had the direct answer, I'd be the head coach of the team. I wouldn't be able to spend my evenings chatting with everyone here. I go back to my previous one, is that I do think that the Dallas found a level that the Oilers hadn't seen. And they just came out firing, and they were not going to be denied. And when those things go, when that happens, when the starts to turn on you, you know, we had Knobloch talking about it. You've got to find a way to be just make little plays and win puck battles, and they were second of pucks, they weren't winning battles, and you need to dig in. So I think it's a pretty big issue, but again, you know, it's they're gonna be, you got to go through these things. I know it sucks, but you go through and you see it. Okay, now we know what they can get to. We got to bring it, because the Oilers did the exact same thing to them in the first period. They need that third goal. If they got that third goal, maybe it doesn't come back like that.
A bunch of people have been bringing up what they refer to as the Stars cherry picking. Brent Alexiou says they're cherry picking to draw the defense out kind of a left wing lock. They're cherry picking to draw the defense out. Is it kind of a left wing lock deterrent? In the post game tonight, both Nurse and Connor commented on Dallas's stretch game. So what's Dallas seeing? What have they changed? What are they doing in that scenario? And what do the Oilers need to do to combat it?
Yeah. So left wing lock is more for a forecheck, not so much for on your breakout. At least the left wing lock that I'm familiar with, but what it does pulls your D back, and it creates space and a little bit of room for your forward or your D man to maybe make a play or to chip it by. And then your center can swing through and pick the puck up. It does make it harder for the Oilers, but they'll figure it out.
I'm going to chime in on that, Struds. I think we're seeing it because I think the Oilers are vulnerable to it. I think we've seen multiple times earlier in the series that the Stars realized, oh, they're a little sleepy. And when they send a guy, Struds, they've probably hit it, what, three, four times already? It hasn't always resulted in a straight breakaway, but I think they see something that the Oilers are vulnerable to.
Yes, I would disagree. I don't think it's sleepiness. I think the Oilers are so eager to pinch that they're caught on the wrong side, right? So now you almost have to say, okay, we're gonna hesitate and go back. No, I'd sleepy. I don't think that's a fair comment because you're looking forward, you're looking ahead to create offense, and they're streaking behind you.
I don't know, man. Like when they have a forward that's 25 feet behind you as a D-man, you fell asleep for a second. You never let a guy squeeze in behind you. And the only reason he gets there, I'm not talking about like the stretch. I'm talking about a guy sneaking in behind the order D and them finding him. And that's happened probably 3 or 4 times in the series already. You would never let a guy behind you wander around like that, Struds, unless your head wasn't on a swivel and you didn't know he was there. And that is sleepy.
Yeah, no, that I disagree. I think you're focused on what the as a D-man, you're focused on trying to stay in the play and be aggressive. I don't like the word sleepy. It's a term I don't like that. So you can be unaware, but sleepy connotates that you're not ready to do your job. And I would disagree with that. I think that's an unfair comment.
All right. Well, we'll agree to agree that I'm right. I think that's your line, isn't it?
Don't steal my lines.
Okay. Talking a little bit more about the defense. And now nobody likes to talk about use plus minus as a stat until it helps their argument. But Bobo Fett and a bunch of others pointing out Nurse minus 12 in 15 games. Think about that. Time on ice reduced, pairings changed to mitigate second and third pairing concerns. And the flip side of that, Noel Rinsky has a good point that he says, I love the Nurse bashing on a night when Bouchard, Ekholm, and Vinny all made critical mistakes on goals against. But particularly on the stream, people hard on Nurse and CeCe tonight. What did you guys see? And does that minus 12 in 15 playoff games mean anything to you?
Well, I think I'm in the minority. I think that plus minus, I think there's value in it. Now, it's got to come from context. Am I involved in these plays? Am I making like the fourth goal? Are we going to criticize Darnell Nurse for that play there?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, some may say he could have played it wrong, could have been more aggressive. I disagree, but everyone's different, right? So, but I do think when you start rattling off those types of numbers, that's a pretty big number, right? That's a pretty big number of minuses that you've chewed on. So I think you got to kind of look at what you're doing. And I keep going back to Darnell. He is at his best when it's simple, intense, physical hockey. That's when he's at his best. And I think that, you know, maybe I think he is still trying to find it right now.
Yeah, and I think the one thing I'll say about Nurse that I think is a bit of a consistent mistake is when things get hairy, he tends to collapse in on the net, Struds. And I think he maybe ends up watching a little bit from in front of his goalie instead of being a little bit more assertive and getting out there and breaking things up. He tends to collapse in a little bit. And I find for as big and rangy as he is, people seem to have a little bit too much space around him in those kind of frenetic moments. But they're not where they are if Darnell Nurse has been terrible all playoffs. Like a lot of people, like the Nurse bashers, just they think he's just been terrible all playoffs. And that's not the case at all. Yeah. He's had some excellent games. He's been really good on some nights. But much like Stuart Skinner saying 4 is too many, minus 12 is too many. And that just, you know, it doesn't look good. Whether you can pick them apart and they're all your fault or not, bottom line, it's not a great looking stat. And I think there's definitely room for improvement in Darnell Nurse's game, Struds, just by virtue of the fact that tonight Darnell Nurse played 19:29. He's got multiple other guys that are past him ice time wise, and on some nights in these playoffs, he's been used less than a couple guys that he isn't normally used less than, and so I think that's notable.
Yeah, for sure. No, there's no doubt about it. And I like Darnell is his own worst, harshest critic. Like you feel it. You just know what that feeling's like. And I'd like to see him come out, be very assertive on his physical play. I think your point's well. Like usually when you're backing up, it feels safe to get closer to your net. But unfortunately, it just gives the offensive players more space and time.
Yeah, and he might be his own hardest critic internally. He might be really hard on himself. He might have a higher standard than anybody else for himself. That might be the case. Publicly, that's not necessarily the case, though, right? Darnell Nurse is not the guy that stands there and goes out of his way to make sure he takes all of, you know, his share of the responsibility and point out his mistakes and stuff. Nurse, that's not really his persona. So I would say if he is his biggest critic, it would be more behind the scenes and not necessarily what he presents. That would be my read. And that's not even a criticism. Like, Nurse has to say the things that he needs to say, not telling him what to say and what not to say. But he's not Stuart Skinner standing there owning them all, Struds.
Yeah, and I don't think I think you can say I can be better, but to go, you know, that there's the extreme of like Jack Campbell, right? And I think that's
I know.
There's a lot of different levels of the way you can say it.
Is we ready to wrap this? Anything else or
I did have one. This I thought was a good. Lots of people talked about the goalie pull. You guys already talked about that. Steven says, Nobby not taking a timeout is the equivalent of Rocky watching Apollo get beat to death while holding the towel. Take a timeout and let the boys collect themselves. I'm not sure it goes that far, but we've seen Knobloch use that timeout. He used it in one of the Vancouver games, kind of in maybe in game seven, right? When they scored the two to get back. What do you guys think of him using it or not using it, or timeouts just kind of blown out of proportion?
I think he was hoping to have, you know, get something. If not, you have another whistle like a minute and a half in, and you call it then, right? You're trying to project what you're going to need. So I actually didn't have a problem because, you know, Brownie talked about that group was fresh. And I think you're hoping to have a minute and a half and you call a timeout, rest them. So you have another and a half. Like, they weren't coming off the ice for the last 2.5 minutes, Shaggy.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe some wondered if when Dallas was pushing as hard as they were pushing, would there have been a time there to, you know, use your timeout, rally everybody and say, hey, pull your heads out of your asses.
Like, I think that's what this comment is in reference to.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that's what the commenter was referencing. Should he have used it early in the game when the tide switched? I think there's a fine line between not wanting to panic and also understanding that there are commercial breaks. Like, you have literally 2-3 minute breaks, way longer than a 30 second timeout, Struds. And the first one into the second period would have been, I think, after the whistle at the, I want to say the 15 minute mark or the 16 minute mark, you know, you've got a full 2 minute timeout coming and you need those reviews in your hip pocket. I think they're maybe a little too valuable to use on just a, hey, we're not playing quite well enough in this 10 minute stretch.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, I mean, you hate to have to use it in the second period.
Yeah.
Right? Especially when you play like that in the first.
All right, that was Ask Us Anything, brought to you by the Shark of the Park, Rini Buchlan of Maxwell Devonshire Realty. Time to wrap the show with
do you want to finish the poll up?
Oh, do we? Oh, we haven't done the poll yet?
We didn't do the poll results yet.
What do we have, Zuby? Bring us the results, good sir.
Okay, I will. These results are brought to you by DeBoer's Golf Shop and Fitting Center. So the question was to Oiler Nation, to Got Your Back Nation, how do you feel about Stuart Skinner's game tonight? And these were the results. Good, other than the fourth goal. That came in first place, 42% of our 344 votes. Simply not good enough, which was the lowest option given, came in second at 29%. Decent, lots of highs and lows, 14%. That was kind of like the number three spot. And the number one option people could have picked was great. His D-man let him down, 13%. So pretty mixed, but a strong showing, 42% for people feeling like Skinner had a good game other than that fourth goal.
And I think we would both agree, Struds. Like, there are some nights where after the game, we have a real conversation about, do the coaches have a decision to make here, right? We go there. When we think that conversation is really happening behind the scenes, I don't believe that conversation is happening behind the scenes right now with the coaching staff about whether they should be going to Pickard or not. Struds, do you agree?
No, not there's. I'd be really surprised. I think the biggest one is, what does the bottom six look like?
Yeah,
because there are multiple options there that don't deserve to come out for next game.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up with our Play Alberta play of the day. The playoffs are crazy. We know that. Play Alberta is making it even more fun. Deposit with a promo code GYB50. That gets you a $50 free sports bet with your next deposit. So once again, that's promo code GYB50. Gets you a $50 free sports bet with your next deposit. They got unbeatable promotions throughout the playoffs if you want to do some betting on the Oilers. Lots of great stuff for you to do. Bonus terms and conditions always apply. And as always, please play responsibly. Struddy, what do we got for our play of the night?
Well, I couldn't get back to my seat to start the second period because Dallas was all over the Oilers. And I want to say it was at least a three-minute chunk of the time in their zone. And they were on them constantly. I believe there was one, maybe two line changes. That, to me, turned the tide towards a loss for the Oilers.
Yeah, that was a big moment. Chief Andy says, I missed the podcast, guys. Too busy crying in the hot tub with the missus. Come on, Chief Andy. It's only game three, buddy. It's 2-1. Still lots of life.
Oilers don't do it easy. They don't do it the easy way. No, I can't wait for this game Wednesday. I think we're going to be talking about a tied series, best of three, and just hard. Everything's hard.
Prediction. Listen to that one.
I feel pretty comfortable saying that.
Yeah. Zuby, great job, my friend. Strutty, fantastic as always. Brownie, thank you, wherever you are. I'm sure he runs straight into bed and turns us on, Struds, to fall asleep to us. Thanks to everybody that joined us on the live stream tonight. Great numbers tonight, as always. We love your contributions. Thank you so much to our live audience. Thanks for those downloading us in podcast form as well. We're having so much fun. How about this playoff run? It's great for the show. Great for the fans. Great for us. Really enjoying it. So thank you. And thanks to our title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC. We will chat again after game 4.